Welcome to the Sick and Successful podcast. If you're a business owner, work in corporate, or have a side hustle you're passionate about, you're gonna wanna stick around. Because I promise to ask the tough questions and talk about the things others shy away from. You know, what it's really like to own a business and be chronically ill. I'm gonna give you that push you need towards following your dreams and be the friend you come back to week after week to talk about the real things in life and in business. If you have goals and are working towards them, if you're determined to be successful, no matter what life's obstacles get in the way, this podcast is for you. Dream big and tune in. Welcome back to the Sick and Successful podcast. This is your host, Natalie Supes, and I have a really special guest for you today. It is a friend, but also a coworker. What do you call it in the digital ad space? I don't know.
A colleague,
an online colleague. Amber Holly is a licensed therapist, business consultant, a .com dropout, and the host of the Easily Distracted Entrepreneur podcast. Amber is fueled by sarcasm, caffeine, and ADHD, which essentially means she's high energy, entertaining, and gets the struggle that most of us deal with. Her mission is to support neurodivergent entrepreneurs in letting go of shame, overwhelm, and burnout by utilizing systems and sustainable strategies to grow their businesses while designing a life they love. Welcome, Amber.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Yay. I'm excited to have you. We've been colleagues online for years now. I feel like at least 3 years. We were in the same type of networking type of community that a few people on this podcast have been in called We Should All Be Millionaires. And just have stayed in touch ever since. And I just love Amber's approach because she herself has ADHD, but she also knows how to laugh about it and some of the things of like coming to a meeting 5 minutes late like me today because I got distracted by writing a post, but also giving people tools and ways to work through it and work around it. How did you get started? Tell us like a little bit about your journey of getting started into entrepreneurship.
Okay. I was going to say I was born in a small town. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. You have to laugh, right? I always love that every time I start recording, that's when I decide I need to move and readjust myself. How I got started in entrepreneurship. Well, initially, I mean, I didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial family. They're actually all in healthcare. And so, you know, I had my lemonade stand and all that, but it was after I actually moved to California and started working in the dot-com world. So I worked in internet operations and marketing. And I found myself, like many 27-year-olds, having an existential crisis. I actually might have been 26 when that started. And I just felt like there was a lot I loved about the work and I loved the people, but I was so tired of working for people that I felt were inept and lazy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, first off, I went back to school and I went to grad school and became a licensed therapist. But I knew in that journey, there was no way in hell I was working for anyone else again after my experiences in the dot-com world.
Right. So then you finished school and then did you just start your own practice or how did that evolve?
Yeah. As soon as I got licensed, I started my own practice. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, I left the dot-com world because I wanted to make a difference. Like I felt part of that existential crisis was feeling like if the world ended the next day, like, did my job mean anything? It was severe, right? Like very dramatic me. So I wanted to do something that was really meaningful. And being a therapist is something that has always kind of been in my head or like were goals. And you know how you change your mind a million times. The cool thing was becoming a therapist, I start my practice. I already had these skill sets around like marketing and I'm very techie. And so I was able to, I think I was in the black. So making a profit from like month one. And so from then on, I just kept growing. And then I took on associates. So I had other therapists working for me, built a really successful group practice. But yeah, I just knew it was kind of cool that then I started doing like the marketing stuff and the therapy stuff. That kind of led me to realizing like, I don't want to do the group practice thing anymore. And so I've transitioned more into the business consulting. And especially, like you said, for neurospicy business owners, because we do have a little bit of a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like so many of us are neurospicy, but we don't know, which also leads me to you got diagnosed quite later on in life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I was either 40 or 41. And this is often the catalyst, I'll say, as, you know, as a therapist who's working with people and diagnosing. Once I had children, so I had my business going, you know, I probably, like many people who are listening, especially if they're women, because a lot of women don't get diagnosed. And there's lots of reasons for that. But also our ADHD shows up a little bit different. And I find that so many women develop these coping mechanisms that actually everyone would say, what are you talking about? You get such good grades, or you achieved so much. And it's like, yeah, because we're like, you know, hypervigilant. And like, I think I've been writing lists since I was 11 years old, you know, that kind of thing, where you found ways of compensating for the challenges you had. Yeah. So I start the business. That was challenging. Oh, I started the business after I had my first, I should say. Then I proceeded in that 4.5 years, I had 3 children and started a business. And it quickly, like all of those coping mechanisms just started.
4.5 years, 3 children. Is that even physically possible?
Oh, it totally
is.
There was gap. No, no, no. We had Hannah, and then 2.5 years later, Liam, and then 22 months later, Ella.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Ella was our little like bonus child.
I love it. And then your business was the
And the business in one. That. Yeah. And I grew it, you know, started a group practice and so it's like that. And then also, as I think I had Ella when I was 39. So what we're finding in the research is that when women are hitting like perimenopause or menopause, the ADHD symptoms are also exacerbating. So there's this, like, you're so exhausted, as you know, when you have young children, they're wonderful and they're exhausting. And it's like, you don't, like, a lot of your bandwidth is limited. And so things start to fall through the cracks. Then these symptoms are exacerbating. So it was kind of like this perfect storm. And yeah, once I got diagnosed, it was like amazing, because, oh wow, everything I thought was a character defect was actually a manifestation of ADHD.
Totally.
I mean, mostly. I'm sure some of my shitty behavior is just because of me.
Well, and it's something I don't think I've ever, have I talked about? I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, not intentionally, about how starting the business and having my daughter has really opened my eyes to the fact that I am neurospicy. I have never been diagnosed, because the process here in Canada is convoluted. And when I tried to get it figured out, it was like $5,000 to start to potentially get a diagnosis. And I was like, that just sounds like not for me. But I don't know, like TikTok really was it for me, where I started seeing things where it was mostly autism, but like ADHD and autism together, or ADHD. I don't know. Everybody presents differently, and I'm not a therapist, but I do relate to neurospicy so much, because as I built my business and as I went through motherhood, I was like, everything is dropping. My whole life, like I used to be able to remember everything, and like my picture memory would keep me alive through university and all the things, all the high achiever stuff that I did. And everyone would say, you're so lucky, you've done so much in your life. And all of a sudden I'm like, can't remember where I put my keys, and I'm losing my phone every 10 seconds, and showing up for meetings 10 minutes late. I'm like, who's this person? Like 2 years ago, I would have fired someone for showing up 10 minutes late. And now I'm doing it every meeting. Like, what's going on? And TikTok started showing me these things. And I'm like, oh, is that why I was in the special kid class? Is that why I couldn't do the spelling on the spelling test? Like, is this why I was weird and wore green clogs and nobody talked to me, but I didn't realize that I was weird? Like all of these things. I'm like, oh my gosh, it all makes so much sense. But my husband has ADHD to the T. That is
the
typical,
classic, right?
The classic, like, you can see it in a minute. He can't watch a movie for more than 10 seconds unless it's like about building something. And so forever I'm like, no, there's no way that I'm like, I'm for sure neurotypical. Like I'm 100% neurotypical. And now I'm like, no, you're not.
I know. Well, and that's why I love the term neurospicy. And I've really like kind of, you know, embraced it, because I do think it's like this recipe, this like spicy, different spices and flavors that make up, you know, the individual. Because, you know, I've been doing this a very long time, specializing, when I was a therapist, or I'm still a therapist, went in therapy, I worked with couples, and that was a specialty, as well as like perinatal care. So I would see you see a lot of people who are neurospicy in couples, because it causes a lot of problems. And what I've come to over the time, all these years, probably like 13 years of working with people in that realm is like, everybody look is so different, presents so differently. And that's the thing, right? Like we see it. My husband is also classic ADHD, diagnosed as a child. And I was like, no way am I like that, because I'm actually kind of obsessive, which it turns out. So I studied with Dr. Amen, has these 7 types of ADD, he says. He likes ADD, I do too, because not everybody is hyperactive. In fact, yes, more people aren't. So it's like, I swear this
it
is
has
my
changed now, right? It's ADD.
No, period? It's ADHD. So it's now ADHD with or without hyperactivity.
Right. That confuses me. I'm like, why are we changing type. It?
They change it. I swear they do it to sell more diagnostic books every couple of years. That's my joke.
Textbooks.
But they do. They like changed manic depressive to bipolar, and they change, you know, they just, we changed ADD to ADHD, but then we had to say without. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, like that's just neither here nor there. But he talks about 7 types, and you can have a blend of those. And so he actually has a free online quiz you can take. And after I found out, I actually went through a formal diagnosis. Luckily, I had wonderful healthcare to do that. But I have 3 different types, and one is called overfocused. I call it obsessive because that's how it feels, but it's overfocused. And then one is more like the emotional, limbic and anxious. And so that's my combo.
Are we the same person? Or?
I know. It's a very common combination, you know? And so I was like, no way do I have that, because it just looks so different than my husband, because he makes me insane. Like, yeah, he forgets everything. Things get put in weird places. He can't organize. I'm obsessively organized, labeled, color coded. However, like you're saying, I miss my old brain, because my brain, that when you said the picture thing, I literally could sit there and a picture would come in my mind and I could tell you what was, like, I could read the page. I would know, I could see where it was. I could remember numbers, all of that stuff. And now, just, you know, recently in the last year or so, there are times where I literally go to that place and my brain, I go to like look in my brain and it is literally blank.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the what? Then I panic, because I'm right? like, I can't remember basic words. My job,
words
even
are
as
the
a
hardest.
Coach, yeah. And I'm like, even as a business consultant, words are important. And so I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst.
That
so
literally happened to me
brain.
At the beginning of this podcast with the word colleague. I'm like, I see it in my brain, but I can't, you know.
It's
like,
so bad. I literally forgot one of my best friend's names.
I forgot my mentor's name today on a call. And then they're like, how did you get introduced? I'm like, oh, by my mentor, who I love dearly and means the world to me. And their name is...
My concern is that I always feel like people are going to think I'm making shit up and that I'm lying or something. But because I'm like, no, I do know what I'm talking about. But I literally, my brain just cannot hold. Oh, it's called agnosia, where you start to lose words. I'm hoping it'll come back.
It's so validating. Like, that's so validating. And when you said the obsessive thing, it's so funny because literally last night, we have a new toothbrush holder, and I organized, we have a new house. I got a new toothbrush holder. It matches the bathroom. And on one side is my daughter's toothbrush is, because she has like 6, because that's just her thing. And her toothpaste, in the middle is my toothbrush and my toothpaste. And on the right is my husband's toothbrush, and he uses my toothpaste. But every day at the end of night, after he's done bedtime routine with her, all the toothbrushes are all over the place, and his is in hers, and I'm like, how is it so hard? So I'm like, literally, Stephen, it's on the left side and yours is on the right side. That's all you have to remember. The next night, they're all mixed up. I'm like, oh man, you know what? I can't get mad at him. That's who cares where the toothbrushes go, except my neurotic brain.
I know, but it is hard, right? Like, because literally, I heard myself say that. Why is it so hard? It's right? color coded. Or my husband will mock me. He'll open up a drawer and he'll be like, brushes. Obviously, I can see the brushes. And then finally I figured out, I said to him, no, that's for you to know where to put it back, not to identify what's in the drawer. Like, duh. But yeah, and that's the thing. You have to choose your battles, but sometimes it is so frustrating, because if you're in that place of like either anxious or over-focused, it can feel like, for me, having organization is like calming and settling.
Yes. Yep.
And so then I feel very at peace. And so, you know, don't get me wrong, I still can do the classic ADHD. Well, this is very neurospicy, all or nothing, right? So it is either obsessively clean and organized, or it's a complete shit show. And there's usually like one room, one closet, one bin, one something. you know, where it's like all the chaos goes because you can't deal with it, but the rest of it looks so great. And so people are always like, wow, how could you have ADHD? Like your house is so clean, because that's a common like problem that people will talk about. And I'm like, oh yeah, we'll just like, here, let me open up this
open
door.
This
like,
and everything.
I will normalize that for everyone. I'm like, no, no, no. When people would come over and they're like, oh my gosh, your house is so clean. I was like, we have a weekly cleaner. So don't, and my husband's too. Retired in here, although he makes most of the messes, but, but it's like, don't judge yourself. Like 100%. This is,
we have a weekly yeah. cleaner as well. And in other houses, this house is a little bigger. So I gave him the walk-in closet, but the walk-in closet has a door that closes. And in other houses, he was literally, his clothes and his closet and everything was in our laundry room in the basement. Because if I gave, which I've tried in other houses, gave him like a room, a full room, or like a closet, half the closet, something, it ended up just being all over the whole house and the whole room. And it's not his fault. It just literally is how he works and how he's wired. But that would cause me so much stress, so much anxiety, so much resentment towards him. Like, why does my space have to be so filthy because of the way your brain works? To that sentiment is like, my office is neat and tidy and organized, but around me there's piles that I can almost touch sitting on my chair on the floor right now, because they just keep getting piled up because I can't deal with it. So it's very interesting. And so I guess kind of have two questions. First being, for someone who isn't diagnosed but does identify, where would you point them in getting some support or feeling validated other than TikToks and Instagram?
Although I have had many a client say that, like talk about that. And I think that's the beauty of people creating that content. I think the downside is usually, I think therapists aren't as great. There are great therapists doing it, but most therapists aren't out there creating that content. It's like
that's why we got to get you on social media.
I know. I know, it's so weird because everyone's
like, I've been
like,
pushing Amber for like
there.
Literally 3 years.
I'm like, I know. But the thing is, like, on one hand, I do love that they're doing this, and they're also lay people who are usually talking about their experience. So they'll say, this is ADHD. And it's like, no, this is your version of ADHD.
Exactly.
That's the only time I have pushback. Now, I still share their shit and like love their stuff and whatever, but occasionally you run across that. And so I think then people, there's that layer of awareness, right? It's the reason I called my podcast The Easily Distracted Entrepreneur, because most people don't know, and especially women, and I work with men too, but I have a lot more women service business owners that I work with. And that's the part where it's like understanding, again, we usually get missed. I will have people say like, oh, you know, it's digital ADHD. And I'm like, no. It's very different. Like if you have a neurospicy brain, it cannot function in a neurotypical way. And the world is not built for us. So it's very challenging and distressing. But I do agree that I think most business owners are so overwhelmed, and we have so many like competing priorities. And this is a struggle for everyone, I feel, but especially if you're neurospicy. So going back to your question of like the diagnosis, I know it makes me sad that it's so expensive, because that's really cost prohibitive for a lot of people. I used to be like, hey, if you don't plan on going the medication route, like you don't necessarily need to get the diagnosis. You can assume you have it and move forward. I have, however, changed my tune a little bit, because what I find is when I'm working with people, you know, doing like business consulting with people, they'll own it. And then they're like, oh, maybe I don't have ADHD. Maybe I just suck. Maybe I'm just not doing it good enough. That's like a, you know, thing I hear all the time. No, see, if you had the validation that you truly had it, then it would free you up to stop going to that place. Because it's already such a shaming thing to feel like you've dropped balls.
I see that, because I see it in my own brain. I'm like, I totally will own neurospicy, but am I, or am I just
exactly
get like busy? And am I, or am I just a high achiever who's stressed? Like,
exactly. And totally that's the problem. That. So I would like for people to do that. Now, I know there are some new things that have come online. Again, I have a little bit of reticence, because some of this stuff, you know, some of these like new therapeutic things that people are like, it's more cost efficient, but they're like run by corporations. They're not necessarily protecting your health information. You know, like even Talkspace or whatever, the big one, BetterHelp. Yeah, they're atrocious. They're like paying licensed therapists not even livable wages, and they're selling information. So like, there's that. But then I haven't vetted these, but I've seen some of those where it's like, oh, for $79 a month or something, you can get the diagnosis and whatever. Wow. I think, again, if you can find a process to get the diagnosis to give you that, I have met some people who are like, I just know I am. I'm okay. I'm not going to do it right now. But that's the challenge I see, is that when thing gets really hard, it's like you start to question, like, maybe I'm just using this as an excuse or something. Whoops.
Right. I even took, like, there's some kind of autism test that was recommended in all the TikToks or like that therapists use or something like that. I don't know. There was some autism test took it, and it was like 100% you do. Like, yes. I know they can't say 100%, but it essentially, and then I made other people take it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not like everyone else. So yeah, apparently I do. But then even that is like, it's a quiz. It wasn't therapist run. Who knows? And I just second guess it. And then I'm like, well, but people who really have autism struggle so much more. So of course I can't have it. And it's just like this back and forth. So I totally get that. And kind of pushes me towards making an appointment.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the next step. There's a lot of online assessments that can be useful. Like I was mentioning for the ADHD with Dr. Amen. Now, the problem becomes that often people with ADHD are not as introspective. They don't have the self-awareness. Introspective was the wrong word. They can be very introspective in their head, but they lack self-awareness often, not always. And so I've had people where I can remember this one couple, and he did the self-assessment. And he's like, nope. And then I was like, I mean, I already knew. Like, I already knew this guy had it. But so his partner then was, I said, can you do it with them? And they like walked them through and like gave feedback of why they're choosing the answer, and absolutely did. So that it was, again, like he wanted to like ease into, am I going to go get an official diagnosis? So there are some good assessments out there just to give you like a little more indication. And I would say, use it as data, like you're saying, because that's the problem, right? We will always question it, but use it as data. And I'm going to tell you, even with the diagnosis, there are days where I'm like, you know, less and less, and it lasts shorter and shorter. But there are times where you're like, I am just shit, and I'm not good enough, and what is wrong with me, and blah, blah, blah. We're going to have that, one, just as humans,
yeah,
but also because there are challenges, and it just feels so, when you're so smart and ambitious and creative, but you also have these challenges of like all the things and, you know, wanting to do so much and taking on things because you get excited, it's really easy to overwhelm yourself. And that's what I'm seeing, is people are so chronically overcommitted, and then they beat themselves up for why they can't hack it or function.
Totally. Oh my God. I love that so much. So how do you manage it? How do you deal with the overcommitment? Because especially being a business owner, like everything's coming at us left, right, and center.
Yeah.
What are some tips to managing it?
Yeah, I can give tips. I was like, one, again, I guess this is the feedback a lot of my clients will give too, is they really appreciate that I'm very like transparent, and like I will own. I say, I will never be neurotypical. Like, there's always going to be where I make a mistake or I drop a ball, but I'm hoping to do less and less, right? Is always the goal. But I think the benefit I have is that I teach this literally day in and day out. So especially, I have this program called the Incubator, where I'm seeing people, like they could see me like 4 times a week. It's one of those things where if you are telling people stuff and you're not in alignment, and being in alignment is different than being perfect, right? I can own that, like I chose to do this, but it's intentional, right? But it is a process. And that's what I've seen in working with these people like so closely in the incubator for the like last year and a half, is it's constant refinement. We are meeting and doing weekly planning, and we're talking about like, okay, what did I do here? Why didn't this go as planned? Like, what's happening? And so I think it's taking, and that can be hard to do when you're overwhelmed and busy. The last thing you want to do is take 30 minutes and step back and really assess, because you're overwhelmed, you know, like you can't even, right? And so I think like that process, like I have a framework, I call it ADD, clever, right? I'm so inventive, but it's assess, discern, develop. And I think that's the process, like to remember, we have to stop, we have to do an assessment, we have to gather data, not just feelings, right? Because that's the problem. Yeah. you could ask me something today and I 100% will be excited and feel something. And tomorrow I could feel really overwhelmed and just like, oh God, I don't want to do that. We can be so in the moment with our emotions that it really, like, so feelings alone are not a good indicator. It's like, what are the other data points, right?
Right.
So, and then taking that information, and you have to make hard choices. The discernment part's hard. I think as our executive functioning, whether they're autistic or ADHD, and I see a lot of the people I'm working with are autistic ADHD. And if you think women getting an ADHD diagnosis is hard, wait till you try to get that combo, because so many like licensed therapists and psychologists have no clue how to properly assess for autism. And that's what sucks, right? And there are great people out there now, like doing more work and like education for that. But that's the problem. And then again, you see, like I did an episode where a friend of mine, she's OCD, ADHD, and autistic. And so, you know, there's all kinds of, in that neurospicy flavor, there's also dyslexia, bipolar, like a bunch of other stuff too. Okay, so the ADD framework. So that's one step, is like discerning, but learning how to prioritize. And I think you need somebody to support you in that, to learn that skill, because it's already such a challenge with executive functioning challenges. So that's one.
The way that you do it as like the body doubling thing, right? Like,
yeah,
that's such a cool service to offer, because it works so well to have someone. Literally, I'm in the process of writing a book and it's been like a slog. Well, no, it's been good, but the last like few weeks not feeling well have been a slog. Yeah. We set up a call. We three of us sit down and we write like more than we've written in 3 weeks, because we're sitting there on Zoom with our cameras on. Like, doesn't make sense, but support is so cool. So I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, for sure. Like that, I know body doubling. So body doubling is like something that most people will talk about as far as like an ADHD tactic. Again, I'm going to put autism in there and all, like, because it, yeah. I see so much overlap and blend, again, the neurospicy, but it should not, you're like, why does this work so well? It's like magical, because it's so silly. You would think, why does this matter? But it 100% does. Now, I've seen people do it and not focus, but again, like, you do have to, like, sometimes you're just not in the mood or you have to make a choice. But for the most part, it is really getting in the habit. So yeah, I call it co-working. And, you know, I've noticed a lot more people are starting to, you know, incorporate that in their programs. I do it twice a week with my people. And then we do long ones, like I'll do like a 10-hour one.
Wow.
Where we're doing like Pomodoro method. So the typical Pomodoro method's 25 minutes on, 5 minute break, but I do 50 minutes often. There's a good reason to do the 25, but 50 minutes and then 10 minute break, because so many people are often doing writing like you are, or we're getting deep into something. And it's like, as soon as you get deep into something, if you have to stop, you're like, no, I'm not going to stop. And then you get the, what I call hyper-focus hangover, and you get exhausted from it. The point of it is to keep you more energized. But yeah, so that's another tactic. The other one I was going to say, oh, there was one, I forgot how you worded the question. This is why I usually write a word down so I remember to come back to it.
Okay, I totally
we're talking about tactics for, oh, not overwhelming yourself, right? Or getting stuff done, was it? isn't that perfect for us?
I think it was, that's case in point. I'm pretty sure it was like tips and tactics for not getting overwhelmed, or like managing your calendar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing is, I know there was one tactic that I was really thinking of when you said it. I really wish I had started with that instead of the like assessment thing. Cause it was, maybe it'll come back to me as I talk. That's what will happen.
Yeah, that's okay.
We'll put that in the universe. But the other one is just, to me, it's extreme clarity. Like, we have to start saying no to things. Like, anytime you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And often we're not doing it with intention is the problem. So it's really about intentionally saying, like, what is important to me and my business, will grow my business, what will get me that leverage. And so if you read the book, Your One Thing or Essentialism, like both of those, I read them at the same time, right after I got diagnosed. And it was like, aha, you know, like, so I really come from that perspective. I think I started to remember and then it went out. This is the problem with two severely ADHD people, because I get excited about it. I was like, I want to tell you because I want you to do it. Oh, I know. My biggest one, because I think so many of us have FOMO, right? And so we're often chasing shiny objects, again, because it sounds exciting or fun. Because, you know, when you're in the middle, like you are with the book, or in towards the end, it's like, that's boring and no one wants to do
literally
that.
Literally, I'm like, somebody write it for me. I'm
I know. Not because you aren't excited about it, not because you won't be great, because now you're like, I've been doing this for a while and this really is boring now. Like, this is so not stimulating. And that's the thing. We won't do things like, you know, asking me to go to the post office is like asking me to climb Everest without training. And yet,
as the 12 Amazon boxes on my floor to return. Exactly.
That's why I don't even return them. I literally just donate them. I pile them up and then we bring them to a donation place because I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't. But you ask me to build you out a budget or design an intranet in a Google site, and I will do that for you in a couple hours. Like, we could do very complex creative things, but there are just those things that make no sense to anybody else. And they're so challenging, right? So it's like understanding that, accepting that. I think acceptance is a big piece. But so going back to the shiny object strategy, God, I really sound ADHD today. And I swear to God, like,
I bet you everyone's on point and listening, like, at the end of their seat, because they probably relate.
I was like, I took my Adderall today. I am one of those people who have to have medication because of just my stage of life and it has been transformational for me. And I am not a medication person. I'm a very, like, I don't even like taking ibuprofen. Like, I love like supplements and natural, but I needed the Adderall. The FOMO thing though is really understanding you can do anything, just not all at once, right? And so my tactic is called put a pin in it. Because if I told you, no, you can't do that. Like, if I was in charge of your life, because I love being in charge of people's lives. And I said, no, you can't do that. You are only going to want to do that. You're going to think about it, obsess about it. You're going to do it anyway, right? And even when we tell ourselves that, like, we're constantly negotiating with our brain. Yep. But if we say to ourselves, okay, I took this on. So I have an example. I decided to launch the Easily Distracted Therapist podcast because I wanted to serve my therapist community. And I only wanted it to be capsule podcast. So it'd be like 20 episodes and that's it, right? And then it would lead them back into my main podcast. Well, I got it, like, typical ADHD, like 60% done. I have almost all the interviews recorded. It's just literally the end work. And I was so overwhelmed. I was like, I have to put a pin in that. Mm. If I said I'm done, I'm deleting it, I won't. I will fight for it. Yeah. If I say it still has to happen because I said it would launch and it 3 or 4 episodes did launch, I would be like stressing myself out and not sleeping. And I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm putting a pin in it until I'm ready to start releasing again. Yep. And that's okay, right? Yep. Like, even big corporations, you know, because you worked in bigger corporation style environments, they will have initiatives that they put on hold that they say, oh, you know what? We did this for 6 months and we realized, like, oh, that's going to have to wait until next year. Or, oh, we got this far and we realized it's not going to work out. It's not lucrative. They let it go. And that's no big deal. That's just par for the course because they're using data. We shame ourselves to death about that stuff.
Totally.
We see it as failure. And it's like, no. So it seems, again, body doubling seems stupid, but it totally works. I realized I was doing it before I knew it because when I would have these big piles of paperwork, that boxes of paperwork I needed to go through, and it would bring up a lot of like anxiety or guilt or shame because, you know, you'll go through and then you'll find like an old bill you didn't pay or, you know, a jury duty summons or something. And there's so much shame. And so I wouldn't want to sit and focus. And I would ask my husband to sit next to me on the couch and he would just watch a movie.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it with me, but him being there made me actually do it. Right. So body doubling, putting a pin in it, getting support around learning how to prioritize. And just taking more off of our plate. Because that's the paradox. Like, the less we try to do, the more we accomplish.
It's so true. It's so true. The more money you make, the more everything feels better, the more joy there's in your business. I recently, I've been really looking for another community, like the one we met in the way it was 3 years ago, but it's not anymore.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for somewhere where I can go to meetings that pump me up and meet with other people that are in a similar place in business with me and stuff like that. And so all of a sudden I just hyper-focused on that and I joined a program that, like, it was a money coaching program and I got recommended by someone and it sounded like people in there would be so cool, but I didn't check if there would be networking on the calls or what the calls would even be. And so 1 week into the program, I'm like, did I just spend $2,000 on this thing that I'm never going to go to again? And thankfully, I chose the payment plan and asked them to cancel it, which they said no to, which I emailed three more times, also called my bank and froze payments, but they ended up canceling. So, but I was like, literally, I had FOMO because someone recommended it, said it was amazing. I didn't do any research. I just jumped in thinking it was going to be amazing. And then I'm like, these calls aren't for me. This time doesn't work. I don't need this information. And oh, there's no networking. It's just a Slack group where you can ask questions. And I'm like, oh my God, that's literally the opposite of what I wanted. And past me would be like, well, I'm going to take the program and join every week because I paid for it. But this time I was like, just ask them to cancel the payments. Like, you lost $400 or $500 for the first payment. That's, I guess, the price of this
That's
lesson.
The ADHD tax a little bit.
ADHD tax.
A little entrepreneurial tax, really.
Yeah. And it's a write-off, whatever. At this point, like, don't kill yourself trying to add more to your calendar of something you're not enjoying.
I think that's progress though. Cause like you, this is where my money stuff would come up is I felt like cheap and ashamed to ever cancel. Even when there was a cancellation period, I felt like it was like an embarrassment. Like I couldn't afford it. And it wasn't that. I have never added it up. One day I will, when I'm feeling real like solid in myself, I'll add up how many things I have. Literally, I actually started a thing where I couldn't buy a program between 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. because I would have emotional times.
Oh my God, I love
and
that.
I would buy something. I would spend like $3,000 because I wouldn't bother doing the math, even though I'm good at math. And I would never ever log in or anything. And it just like knowing it was there. I had a course buying addiction. I've gotten better. And then now I like, if it's basically under $50, it used to be $100. If it's like $50 or under, I'm just going to buy it. It's on Instagram. I'm going to buy it. Like the algorithm loves me, but it's one of those things where it's like, if you do that intentionally and accept it, but I think there's something about saying like, this isn't what I was needing and vetting it more. But I too would take, my friend said, it's great. And I love her. And we're very similar. And then it's like, oh, this wasn't what I was needing at all. Yeah. Right. And I think so many of us are craving community. And I think that's the thing.
Yep.
And problem is if you're in an entrepreneurial community, there's a chance that 40% of the people are probably neurospicy, whether they know it or not. Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like those communities can be very shaming. Like you put stuff out there and, you know, it's especially if you're being vulnerable and people have a lot of judgments like, oh, you did that wrong or this or that. And it's like, that doesn't feel emotionally safe. That makes you spiral even more, which makes it even harder. And I think it's all that emotional stuff that we deal with that actually impacts our ability to grow our businesses or do more because it shuts us down.
100%. And you add chronic illness to it.
Oh,
and then it's like, you can't, you're shut down emotionally, overwhelmed, exhausted and burnt out. And then your body's like gets 10 times worse and flares because you're, you know, pushing it to its limit. So
because of the stress.
Yeah. So I've been working hard, especially pregnant to try to like stop myself in the tracks, which I talk about it, I think on every podcast, like my calendar is bonkers right now. Like you can't book until April 27th, probably. But
yes, I saw that when I thought about rescheduling and then I was like, oh, it's just tomorrow. And I was like, wait, the date doesn't line. Oh, it's April. I'm keeping this.
And it's literally like back to back to back. And then I get on my calendar in the morning and I'm like, I don't want to do that or that or that. And today I was in a call and it's a new networking community, which was a lot less expensive. And so far I think it's the right fit. But they make you go through this training to get into the community. And this one guy was talking to me like this about active listening. And I had to be in this breakout room just with him alone. And I was like, I think I'm going to leave this Zoom room. I'm like, I think I'm going to leave this Zoom room. And then my mind was like, no, you want to be in this community. There's 10 more minutes. You can do it. You can do it. And I was just like looking at it. He's like teaching me active listening as like my brain is seeping out of my ears.
Yeah, that would
I mean,
be
he was
hard.
A nice guy.
Slow
sure,
talking. No, it has nothing talking. To do with that. Slow talking. It makes you almost want to hurt someone. Like,
I don't think I felt that way for a long time because the communities I've been in have been women or neurotypical or neurospicy or, you know, open and or like, you know, diversity type of communities. I haven't been in like a I don't know, like a corporate setting for a long time where, you know, somebody's
Yeah.
talking to you like that. And I was like,
It's
like just.
hard. Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, we were just talking about this yesterday on a call that I had, and where I was saying this is the problem, especially for women, that we, because of the way that we have been conditioned and the way that we hold stress and experience stress, and we're supposed to be the caregivers and take it all on, we do see that high propensity of like autoimmune disorders and other diseases that women have because of like chronic inflammation and stress and all of that, because of like how we're supposed to hold it all in, right? And so like you're saying, it's all of these other things are going on. Your brain is actively working against you sometimes. Sometimes your brain is awesome and gets you through. That's the balance, right? There are superpowers. Like, that is why we are so successful, you know, but there are those challenges. And like you said, it's just really hard. And I think finding a supportive community that really, there's like zero judgment and it's a lot of support and just like understanding. I have two memberships and people will talk about, it's so validating even just to show up to a call, even if they didn't have like a coaching call, they didn't have a question, to hear other people talking about their experience, like validates, like,
Tell
oh,
me more
there's
about your
nothing wrong with
membership.
me. Yeah. So I have, first level is called the Inner Circle. I created that because I, again, saw so many people struggling in business. And I wanted something because I have spent, I mean, there was a program I spent $18,000 on, and I will get a nugget out of anything. And they just did not follow through. It was bad, really bad. I wanted something that was very cost effective. Like, it should be a no-brainer, but you could still get real, like, strategic advice, but also like dealing with this, you know, the neurospiciness and also like the emotional stuff. Like, I do one workshop a month. I have guest expert trainers. We do co-working every Monday. We do a quarterly goal planning workshop, and that's to really help that part
Awesome.
of like planning. And then we do one group coaching session, and it's $79 a month. Like, it to me, like, super easy. But then there's still those people who are like, I have big dreams and goals. And most of the people in there, I'm going to tell you, are very successful, like driven entrepreneurs in both levels. But there are the people who are like, I really need to do this and make this happen, and I want to shorten the time frame, and I'm really overwhelmed. And so that's the incubator, because that one, there's just, you don't have to come 4 times a week, but there's so much support and one-on-ones, and like, I do this, fix this next assessment, all this. So again, there's that piece, there's the strategic piece, but for me, the community piece, that's the part where I was like, it was unexpected about how holding that is for people, and that they can post things that they normally can't say to anybody because they would get shamed. And instead, everyone's like, oh, like, you know, hold my beer. Let me tell you, like, not in a competitive way, but in like a, I support you. You know, we all are filing our extensions for our taxes, like all that. But actually, no, I mean, actually, what's interesting is once I started the incubator, the first time ever this last year, I actually filed my taxes on
Heck
time. And
yes.
I'm literally, it's so ridiculous because I have a bookkeeper, I have a CPA. Like, why am I doing this late? But I think, again, it was that level of accountability, and I want to be there. And I have clients for the first time ever who filed their taxes on time, you know,
Oh,
because
that's
it's
so
like you
awesome.
just need support. And again, the constant, I call them care frontations, you know, I use humor, but it is like every once in a while, we got to be like, okay, girl, you are getting in your own way here. Like, no, you cannot do that thing. And it helps, you know, because they know it comes from a loving, non-judgmental place.
And is that all on your website? Like, we'll link
Yep.
it below, but on
All
your
in the
website,
website. Yeah.
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I love it. Like, we do in the incubator, I do offer them to both levels because I want people to get the support. And there's all these recordings where I do a schedule workshop every 2 months because we need to refine our schedules. And to me, your schedule is the foundation
It
of
is.
everything. And most neurospice people, when they hear schedule, are like, no way, I don't like schedules. I don't want to be confined. I too feel that way,
Yep, me
right?
too.
I call it the perfect work week workshop, but it is about your schedule. But it really is about energy management. And it's about taking, again, like taking the data and like having wake up calls. And yeah, I had one member who, after being in the program, the incubator, for a few months, showed up to a call and said, you know what? I just realized I'm not failing. I'm still overcommitted. And I was like, oh, like that, like, you know, like how, what a shift to go from I'm not good enough. What's wrong with me? Like, I keep not achieving these goals. Like, I'm always behind. I'm not seeing friends. I'm not spending time with my partner. I'm, you know, like, oh, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm still overcommitted. Like, to me, that's the awareness part, right?
So I'm going to go empty my calendar.
Yes, exactly.
To next year.
Well, anybody listening, I will welcome them to come into one of the scheduled workshops. I guess I should, what I'll do is amberholly.com/S&S. We'll do that.
S&S. And then, okay.
That way it'll have information on there. And because I do them every couple of months, yeah, I would not wait, but in case somebody listens to this podcast, like 6 months from now, like still come because we can, I'll make sure that you can get in and do that. Cause I really do think if that is like the one thing that if you focus on your schedule, it can transform your whole business.
It's so true. It's so true. And when you forget and you let that part go, it transforms your business, but in another way.
Touche. Well said. Well said.
Thank you so much, Amber. I love our conversations, and we'll make sure everything's linked below so everyone can find you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. And then you'll have to listen to your episode on, you have to link your episode on my
podcast. Make sure you go on the podcast is linked below. Amber's podcast is linked below as well. Thank you. Remember, dream big. It's possible for you, and your next version of success is around the corner.